money. Often it's for the fun. The job can be so messy, but he always gets them done. He can zoom in on a target that's ready to expire. When it's murder one, it's guns for hire.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and it is a beautiful day here in Vancouver. Gorgeous and sunny. So excited to be here. And today, we're speaking with Ingrid Plattman. She won the lottery, a fairly significant sum, $230-something thousand. And she's a student from Ramtha's School of Enlightenment down in Yelm, Washington. You may be, if you've seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, Ramtha is channeled by the lady with the long blonde hair, Jay-Z Knight. So she, Ingrid, is on the show today to talk about her win. Hello, welcome to the show, Ingrid.
Thank you, Maria. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you for being with us. So you had mentioned that you wanted to sort of tell us a little bit of the story, because you believe that this, correct me if I'm wrong, but you believe that the teachings from Ramtha's School of Enlightenment are one of the contributing factors to your win. So tell us your story.
Okay. I'm going to preface the story itself, which is, you know, sequential. I can place that in a line of sequential events. I'm going to preface it with some information and background and descriptions which will lend credibility to what I tell you and possibly have you see that this is not a coincidence. Now, coincidences do occur, and they happen as a result or as an effect of something that happens at a greater perspective or in a greater paradigm. So I'm going to begin with simply telling you, I'm going to ask the indulgence of your listeners and yourself to bear with me for probably about 5 to 10 minutes so I can give you this background. It's very succinct, but I'm sure it'll come through. There are basically three foundations of what Ramtha teaches, and these foundations actually allow us to become the source of our own enlightenment. Ramtha is enlightened, but he teaches us how to do that for ourselves. Okay, so the first of the three foundations is a simple axiom. It's called consciousness and energy create the nature of reality. This means that consciousness and simple energy are inextricably combined, and they create what is called reality and the nature of reality. That's the first of the three foundations. And that is what we learn to put into practice. The second one is three areas of knowledge. The first is knowledge of the brain. So you study simple brain anatomy, and you learn what different areas of the brain are doing and what they're capable of doing and what kind of information they hold. The next area of knowledge is, it sounds difficult, but it's not. It's called quantum physics, which is also called the science of the observer. And what this is postulated on is that all matter is formed from consciousness and that mind affects matter, okay? Then the next area of knowledge is that there are 7 energy vortices that are aligned in the human body, which conduct energy into the body. They're often referred to as chakras. Ramtha says that the more accurate word is fields. And these energy vortices are, from my experience, they're part of the life force. And that life force is not only in our bodies, but it surrounds our bodies in the form of electromagnetic fields. So those are the three basic areas of knowledge that we are given. And then we're given a simple technique. Well, there are a number of them, but the first one is my favorite one. And to me, it's the one that builds the foundations for really experiencing that I am creating reality, and that it is a simple technique. It's called the consciousness and energy breath. And in this breath, I experience extraordinary amounts of energy running through my body and my brain, and exquisite states of consciousness. Okay? So what I'd like to do is to describe to you just basically the breath, because I'm not a teacher and I'm not qualified to teach, but I can give you a description and some of the experiences that I have with it so that it will make sense.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So basically, I'm not going to tell you what we do, what the breath is itself, but what we do is we get some blindfolds, we get a very nice firm cushion, we sit on that cushion either on the floor or on your bed, you put those blindfolds on, and you put your legs up like a yogi would do. You fold your legs underneath you, kind of thing, in front of you, and you put the blindfolds down, you put some really dynamic music either on a headset or on your stereo, and really let it rip. So this breathing technique, what it does as you work it, what it does, it raises the kundalini energy that comes up through the spine and through the seven seals and brings it up to the brain. It basically electrifies your body. It's a wonderful experience, and it rushes the kundalini energy up into the brain. This experience can be very dynamic, can be like a huge, it can be orgasmic. You know, you can have this huge rush of energy into your head, and it's kind of heady, but it's also really sublime. Or it can happen in a very gentle way so that energy flows and you know that you're changing your state of consciousness. Now, what's also happening when you employ this breath is that you're accelerating the electromagnetic fields both in your body and around your body. And this allows you to go into deeper subconscious areas of the brain. And from the knowledge that we're given, you know when it's happening just because of the knowledge and then using it. Using the technique. Let's see. I have a few notes, but there won't be much more. So when I go into these other areas of the brain and different levels of consciousness, there's a quietness. You know, all the peripheral thoughts about daily living, they really do step aside. I'm not out of my body. I'm definitely in my body, but I'm also in a different state. And this state, it involves a pure knowing and a very singular focus. And what I've been taught is in that state of focus, I can bring up a symbol or a word visually onto that screen of the mind. You know, it's called the screen of the mind. It's actually the frontal lobe of the brain. And I can hold that symbol because it represents something I want. So this is where creating this lottery win comes in, because I made a card which I focused on for about 3 years, and it's simple. It says freedom at the top. It's got a dollar sign in the middle, a nice big green dollar sign with two parallel lines going through it, and it has worthy on the bottom. So this is something like I have never, ever experienced true financial freedom, but I've seen it around me, and I wanted to have that. So back to being in this other states of consciousness, I employ the breath, I pause, and I bring that symbol into focus, and it becomes like a daydream. It represents whatever I want, and it's something that evolves to where you're actually sitting like a central player on your own stage. It's like a hologram, but it's also it's real. It's real because you're actually giving birth to something that you are wanting in your life. And you're doing it with your mind. So the scenario itself actually unfolds on its own. I continue to just breathe and pause and observe, and this scenario actually builds and it morphs. It does wonderful things. And then after a certain period of time, whatever that is, it's never the same, and you're not really that aware of time, the actual scenario, the symbol, everything just disappears. It's gone. And at that moment, you've given up this creative mode and really given it to the mind of God. There is a beingness out there that can hold information, and I've given it my dream, and it sits there. My dream sits there. It's somewhere out there. It's abstract, and it's a pure potential. But I know it's there, and I know that I'm going to continue to focus on it because it's what I want. So while I'm doing this consciousness and energy breathing or doing any intense focus on what I want, like, say, looking at that card and focusing on it and thinking what I want, each time I do it, I'm also creating new neurons. They come, they're grown in a part of the brain called the hippocampus. And each time I do this, those neurons are nurtured, they grow, they interconnect, and they also connect with other neural networks that I have in my brain. So that what I'm creating also becomes common thought. It becomes something that becomes increasingly credible and acceptable to me. And therefore, I can accept it coming into my life. So the last part that I want to describe is that this larger context from which we create results called coincidences or synchronicity. I see synchronicity as a result of what's called a paradigm. So when you're building a reality or a context for your life that you've never had before, you're generating all of that, what I've just said, and creating. You're in a creative state, and you're also living your life. You know, you're not going around totally always in the perfect state. But what you're doing is creating a paradigm shift, and when I'm doing this, I'm actually moving my whole way of thinking and actually the way I live towards a certain threshold point, and it's called critical mass. So there's a threshold point in a paradigm where it becomes mass. It becomes something other than an ideal. It starts to incrementally and seamlessly, and yet it comes out. It comes out into the physical world. And when it hits my reality, there's a shift. My life actually is very much changed since I scanned that lottery ticket under the lottery scanner.
I can imagine.
I know that something happened, you know. So basically, I can now describe to you sort of the step-by-step story. Or is there anything that perhaps you wonder about or that I could clarify for you?
Well, perhaps you'll answer this as your story goes on, but I just have a couple of questions about, if Ramtha School of Enlightenment is teaching this and you believe that this is one of the contributing factors to your win, then
yes.
I'm just curious why everyone at Ramtha's isn't winning the lottery.
Okay. This takes a tremendous amount of there's several things I want to say to that. Number one, we have a lot of people. In the last 2.5 years, we have, in sum total, done somewhere around $500,000 in winnings. Now, I know mine constitutes a large part of this, but there are people who are mastering roulette, and they can come home with a lot of money. There are people, and I've started to do this, who are mastering slot machine wins, nice tax-free money. And there are people who are mastering other lottery games. There's one called Match 4, which is getting 4 out of 4, and it's an automatic $10,000. There are a number of those.
Oh, I saw a picture of a lady on the website with that one, right?
Yes, yeah, Antonia. She won just a few days before I did, and she was at the same event that I was. I bought the ticket at an event. What was your question?
I was just wondering why everyone doesn't do it.
Right. The thing is, we all have blocks. We all have filters. We all have reservations about the fact, number one, that we can do something as outrageous as this. And it is, like I said, it took me 3 years. Everybody's different. But with me, this one took 3 years of consciously creating it. We have a lot to deal with, and this is where the last part of my notes actually comes in. And what I want to tell you is that in order to create these results in true paradigm shifting, you have to give up your karma. In other words, you get to take a look. You get to be honest with yourself and say, God, you know, I have so much anger in me, I can't possibly focus on a different life. I have so many doubts that I can't possibly do this. I can't possibly win money enough to set me free from having to go to work. We have, this is, you know, basically I will refer to it as karma because it's everything emotionally and with certain thinking processes that we're conditioned to that keep us from doing that. And one of the things you can do with the disciplines, the techniques that Ramtha teaches is create what's called neuroplasticity. And that means you can disconnect all those thought processes that involve doubt and trigger emotions like anger. And you can dissolve those. Neuroplasticity means you can actually disconnect neural nets. specific neural nets that are related to emotions that keep you limited and small and totally unworthy, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So all of us are on a different journey. And many people are focusing on this, as I have been doing and I continue to do, because that's something that is very liberating, is to be able to have money enough to choose how you want to live and to be able to take care of yourself. Now, I don't own my own property, but ideally that's what I'm focusing on, is to own a home, is to own land. I do own the house, but I don't own the land. And it was given to me, is to absolutely have that kind of freedom. But everybody's hitting their own limitations. And with this breath, in order to get to those exquisite states of creativity and freedom, you have to own the anger. And you can do that. You can actually transform that energy as an energy, as anger. And you can transform it and so that the anger is no longer locked in. And you can transform it and get the energy that's been locked into it and use it for what you want.
Hmm. So it sounds like you're saying you can take that anger energy and harness it in a more constructive way.
Absolutely. And who wants it? You know, I mean, I used to have a hell of a temper. And I was tired of getting myself into fixes. I was tired of losing jobs once in a while. You know, you get tired of the same old stuff that doesn't work for you. And when you find a tool that allows you to really, really change it. Now, I want to tell you the interesting part, the part that I love about this, is that when you master something like this, like when you master temper tantrums, or you master just flares of anger that certain buttons are being pushed by certain types of behavior, by other people, of course, you're never responsible for it. Once that anger has dissipated and those neural nets have disconnected, you don't even know it's gone, because it's gone, right? And you look back at it after a period of time and you realize that you've changed. So that's called evolution, and it's called owning your karma and mastering it. It's very freeing, very, very freeing.
Thank you, Ingrid. So I'm curious, if you're focusing on freedom and financial stability and worthiness of this financial freedom, what is it specifically about the lottery? I mean, wouldn't it be just as easy to create an amazing business that helps thousands of people? I mean, why do you guys focus so much? And I would love to win the lottery too. I'm not criticizing. I'm just curious why. I mean, do you guys focus on something else as well, or why so much focus on gambling?
Well, first of all, gambling means you're taking a chance, and gambling is totally coincidental. By definition, it's you're already losing if you're gambling. You go in there, and I've done this three times on one particular type of slot machine through pure focus and through being caught in the zone, which I really became succinctly aware of during that event that I bought the ticket and realized what I'd done. People are not everybody is doing this. I wasn't into casinos. I was into lotteries because I knew I'd had enough of caregiving. I'm 63. I don't have anything. I don't have assets. I don't have debts, but I also don't have assets. And I'm looking at, you know, what's going to happen with my life? I still haven't done everything I want to do, and I don't want to have to go to work with things that is serving people. And I love the family I was taking care of. Best job ever in 26 years. But I was finished with it. You know, you just are finished with it. And I wanted to have the space to do things that I haven't given myself the space or had the finances to do. So many people in the school probably are focusing on having money to put into a business, having money to put into a home, having money to raise your kids and send them to college. Money is really gets your attention, right? And it's a source to producing other things in life. Some things come about, like this house that I'm in, it's an 800-square-foot cabin, was given to me. I loved it. I was able to move into it. And it was given to me. I never expected it, but I've been focusing on having a home and having my own place.
Hmm.
So it can happen that way. But money is a wonderful key to get what you want in your life. It doesn't always come about, you know, just because it comes out. It doesn't always come about directly what you want.
I'm just thinking of when you say money, what came to mind was liquid assets, liquidity, the flow. You know, I mean, if you mm-hmm. can get something that you need, like a home given to you, which is awesome, but money is, it can flow in so many directions. If you have a home, then you can only use it for a living.
Yeah, and you still need cash flow. I mean, in this society, we still need cash flow.
So you had wanted to talk about some of the synchronicities leading up to your win.
Oh, okay. Really simple. Now, this is more of a linear thing because that's how it works out when you tell your story. But coming out of the ability and the conscious intent to shift my reality, to shift the way I'm living, real simple. I don't have to use all the big terms, but the big terms are very succinct. They mean a lot. About 3 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, I was living in a little studio right next to where I am now. Beautiful area, out in the countryside. It was on 5 acres. I was asked to vacate because she was expanding the house and she was going to change it and she wanted the studio I was living in. So I said, one thing I learned a long time ago is when you have to recreate your life, you can't pursue it. I never could pursue a job. I tried advertising, never worked. I always found other ways to actually get a result. And I found that you couldn't do it by pursuing it. You had to do it by focusing on it and dreaming it up, Right? Even if you don't know what it looks like, just focusing on it allows something to materialize. So I was talking to friends, and this land, as I said, is right next door. I ended up talking to Kathy, the gal who owns the land, and she said, I'm going to live in my van. I'm not going to chase a place because I've lived in enough places where it doesn't work because I'm desperate. And I said, I'm not going to be desperate. I put everything in storage. I have a nice big Plymouth van. I can live in that, and I can be quite happy and go to work and do everything I want to do. And Cassie said, sure, you can park in the pasture. Well, after a few months, we were getting along very well. I could use her facilities and things. And having a membership at the gym, I could shower and do my thing. So she and another friend suggested that I ask the gal who had built this cabin, who still owned it, if I could move into it. And Kathy had never allowed anyone to rent this place because she likes her privacy and she likes to have, the control of her land and to know who's there and what's going on, although she's not intrusive. I talked to Inch, and Inch was very, very happy to let me move in at a nominal fee and basically covering the cost that she would have in paying half of the taxes and on the property, and that was it. So about a year later, was during an event at school that Inch came up to me, and she said, I have a proposal for you. And she said, you just dream it. And so I thought, well, it's got to do with the cabin, and she's going to sell it to me. And then the more I was focusing on it, the more I realized that she was going to give it to me. And, yes, that was it. She was ready to give it up if I would take over the taxes, take over the maintenance. It's fully furnished. There's food. It's everything. And I said, that'd be wonderful. She said, well, okay, good. So she said, you may have to pay rent if you tell Kathy that I've given it to you. I said, that's fine. But I held off because I wanted the magic of just having my own place, even though it wasn't on my own property, and I didn't really have any power with, having that home. So when tax time came in October, I told the lady that owns the house that, I'd been given this cabin. And she and her family very kindly said, listen, the only way this can work is if you sign it over to us. You have the cabin, but you sign it over to us, and you pay a nominal amount of rent to cover the cost of insurance, to cover the cost of electricity and water, and basics like that. So I complied with that. I didn't get in the way, because if I had gotten in the way, that would have really taken a lot of my focus away from financial freedom. And I wasn't going to put up any resistance to letting things flow. And so ultimately, I was given the cabin back. Yeah, she considers it mine, although I don't own the land. But just after I lost that first studio that I mentioned and was living in my van and moved in here, that was 3 summers ago, I started to use one of the techniques, one of the disciplines, which is called the progressive manifestation process. And what it involves, it's about 1.25 hours long. It involves Ramtha's voice guiding you through certain I can't describe it, but Ramtha guides you through certain areas of doing the breath and then focusing on what you want. And one of those areas is specifically geared towards working on wealth. And so I would do that process with, it's got music to it, I've got my blinders on, I'm using the breath, And I would do that every day for 6 weeks. I did that for 6 weeks, and every day was different. Every day I learned something more about myself and about what I was doing and what I was creating and what was going on in various areas of my body, of my thinking processes, my ability to let go and to really get into what I was focusing on. It all evolved over those 6 weeks, and then I let it go. You just let it go. You do something, you put it out there, and you let it go. And then the next summer, which was 2 summers ago, I did it again for about 2 weeks, and then I let it go. In the meantime, I'm still focusing on this lovely little card. I have it in front of me all the time when I'm home. It's next to my laptop, and I look at it at night when I can't go to sleep, and I think, what does this look like to me? What do I want? And it has to evolve because I don't know what it looks like. And I don't put any conclusions on it. It is not, it's an open-ended creation. You don't reach conclusions and you don't put expectations on it. Because when a paradigm shifts and unfolds, it happens unexpectedly. You'll never see it ahead of time because you've never had that. You've never lived that. Mm-hmm. It's never been wired into your brain to have any reality. But you're wiring it, and so you're creating a context. Anyway,
Well, I'll let you think about that because it's time for a break.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Ingrid. All right. So right now we are speaking with Ingrid Plattman. She won a significant, what was the exact amount?
$230,000
on the lottery. She is a student of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. If you've seen the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? That is the, Jay-Z Knight, the woman with the long blonde hair, channels Ramtha, and they're down in Yelm, Washington. So she attributes the teachings of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment to this lottery win. And so we're speaking with Ingrid all about that and what she learned and why she thinks that those teachings are responsible for that. So this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio, or you might be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And wherever you're listening from, I hope you're enjoying the show and having a wonderful day. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Kasla. My name is Gennarji O'Sullivan of the Tlaweetsis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Wendell exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
The following is from an interview between Patrice Musso and an elder named Old Hands at the Deconstructing Dinner event.
When the apology happened, I was sitting with a group of people, and there was a senator, I can't remember what his name was, he comes up to me and he says, "Do you think the Aboriginal community is going to buy the apology?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, why would you say that?" I told him, "Let me put it to you like this. You stole my car. I know you stole my car. And you come back years later and you say, 'Old Hands, I'm sorry I stole your car. Here's $300. But you still have my car.'" And he looks at me and he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "If you're really sincere of what the apology is to the Indigenous people of Canada, you would take all those little children that never came home, that are buried out there in unmarked graves, you would dig them up and send them back to their families. Then we all know that you're serious. But until that time, no, you're just blowing wind." And he said, "Canada would never do that." And I said, "I know, because you condemn other countries that do it, right? The atrocities to the children and mass graves, and it wouldn't look good for you." And then he kind of just looked at me, didn't know what to say, and just walked off. And I go, "This is why it's never going to work, because it's just words. You know, actions speak louder than words."
You have just heard at Window exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
The 4th Annual Versus Festival of Words explores writers of all walks of life, including poets, storytellers, comedians, and singer-songwriters. With 34 all-ages events, there is something for everyone, including the Canadian Individual Poetry Slam. Over 40 slam poets from across the country will battle it out to represent English Canada at the World Cup of Poetry in Paris. The festival comes to Vancouver April 5th to 12th, and more information can be found at versusfestival.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and right now we are speaking with Ingrid Plattman. She won $230,000 in the lottery, and she believes that her win is due to the teachings of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment, and she's here to talk all about that. Welcome back to the show, Ingrid.
Thank you, Marie. It's a wonderful opportunity to share something that's very close to me and very intimate, and yet at the same time can be empirical and wonderful for other people to know.
And so you were thinking on something before the break. Do you remember what it was?
to tell you the truth, I've gone blank, but I'm going to go and continue with the story. You know, it's going to sound rather random because things actually happen randomly, but they're sequential as well. I've been focusing on the card. As I said, I've been using disciplines. I keep that card in view. I focus on it. I am, you know, draw scenarios around it. It becomes common for me to think about this. What I want, but without really knowing what it looks like, you know, what it happens, how it happens, anything, just that it's out there and it's a potential for me to experience and have. So last June, Ramtha held an event. I think it was a 5 or 6 day event here in Yelm, and he taught us. It was called a $1 million event. Okay, so I thought, this is right down my alley. I knew from having observed myself buying lottery tickets that $1 million was a huge amount of money to be responsible for, to know what to do with it, and to know how to think with the aspect of having that kind of money. But I looked at the hit 5 one day, and I thought, well, that starts at $100,000, usually goes up to $200,000 or $300,000, and somebody wins it. And, you know, this is all just kind of, I'm just doing my thing. And I think, well, you know, I could accept that. And I go to the corner store and say, you know, Melissa, when I win this lottery, I'm going to give you guys a really nice tip, which I did. So I started to create a certain level of acceptance in seeing that certain figures were applicable, because that kind of money could be used to buy a property. And so it had a function. It wasn't just money for the sake of money. I couldn't do that. It would just make me crazy, I think, if I just wanted money for the sake of money. It wouldn't make any sense. So I got a reality on that, and I had another breakthrough. This all works together, but I had another breakthrough where, when you buy a lottery ticket and you put it in there and it says, sorry, not a winner, it's really easy to begrudge the fact that you gave up that dollar and that it's out there somewhere and it's not yours. But what I started to see was, besides the fact that the Washington Lottery contributes to scholarships and projects that the state has, it is an opportunity to see and to make somebody else wealthy. And that person I can identify with. I can identify with somebody that there's somebody out there who's in the same position that I am or similar, you know, and I can see that it's worth it to make somebody else happy, and it's just costing me a dollar. So it was a change in attitude that just naturally occurred as I was focusing on creating this. That was another turning point, and I that happened within the last, I'd say, year and a half. So the million-dollar event last June, Ramtha says, you know, a lot of people think this is bunk and that we can't do this, and so on and so forth. And one of the things that he had us do was to draw a card which would reveal to us our limitation and our lack. Necessity is wonderful for creating a new reality like this, for creating this win. Necessity is definitely part of the creative process, but lack is not the same thing. And so we made a card, and I worked it for 7 months after that until this January, so that I could see, simply see, the neural net programs. They are really loops of thinking, thought, programming that we have acquired and believe in that keep us from thinking bigger, you know, because
Ingrid,
we have things in the way like doubt or unworthiness.
Ingrid, and I just need to interrupt you for a moment. You had mentioned a card. I'm just wondering, what was that card?
Well, the card is a really simple card again. It's just the all-seeing eye. So I drew an eye. You know, with the iris and the pupil, the shape of the eye, and a line, a blue line for the lid, a little bit heavier on the top line. And the iris is blue, and it has five kind of yellow stripes above it for, they look kind of like eyelashes.
So when you say you drew a card, do you mean you pulled a card out of a deck or you drew a picture?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, not in metric measurements, but we use recipe cards that are 5.5 by 7 inches. And okay. Those cards are used to draw symbols on, and those symbols we focus on.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Sure. The brain works with symbols. It works really well. Words are also symbols. They're letters, right? The brain works with symbols. So basically, I drew this eye, and I wrote the word reveal underneath it. And when I did one of my other disciplines, which is called the neighborhood walk, it's an auto-suggestion technique, and you're walking. And you're saying things to yourself. And what I said was, it was about revealing the neural net programs of lack and limitation. And I put this as the affirmation and the auto-suggestion in my walk. And I also used this card when I was doing the CNE breathing so that I would allow and bring, call forth the insight to see. I mean, you're so close to these thought processes that keep you small and that keep you at a distance from what you want because they're embedded in who you are every day. And what you ask for is to be able to see that, because when you can pinpoint something, you can grab it, you know. You can grab it and you can do something with it if you want to. So that was the card to reveal, and I can't tell you except for, you know, those insights about acceptable values, dollar values being a few hundred thousand, and seeing that putting a dollar out there was a wonderful thing to do for somebody else. If it wasn't for me, it was good for somebody else. I don't have any specific recall of the limitations except that I was willing to tell the truth when I was resentful, you know, when I wanted something my way and couldn't have it, whatever those attitudes were. I was willing to work through them and to let them go. So in January, Jay-Z held an event called Fresh Air. And one of the promises, she made three promises that she intended to teach us about from her own life experience. She is a brilliant, incredibly knowledgeable individual. And she has a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience and insight to share with us. And it gives you an opportunity to learn more and to grow more through her experiences. One of the promises she made to us was that she would teach us how to manifest wealth, because she is a multi-millionaire and manifested this in the late 90s. So she has a lot of background with that kind of thing and having it happen in her life. I'm not going to go into the details of that because that's not for me to tell, really. But I have great credibility to the fact that if she can do it, she can teach me something about it. And let's see, we got a few minutes.
Ingrid, that actually brings me to another mm-hmm. question. And
sure.
I feel like I would be remiss in saying this. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people out there, and I'm not saying whether this is true or not, Mm-hmm. There are a lot of former students of Ramtha's that actually say Ramtha's School of Enlightenment is a cult.
Okay.
And so I'm just curious what your experience of that has been.
To me, a cult, I know the implications of a cult are something evil, something manipulative, something that makes, that basically, well, it basically makes you do things that you're not really self-responsible for. Is that, does that fit at all to a definition of a cult? In other words, you're being manipulated, you're being brainwashed, you're being controlled by somebody else's, you know, somebody else's dogma and rules.
I would say that manipulation and pressure, I mean, we're all responsible for our own actions.
Yeah.
But there has been accusations of financial pressures, sleep deprivation, just classic standard manipulation techniques. But of course, I've never been there. This is only from people who've left and are obviously disgruntled.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. One of the things that, that Ramtha knows how to do, is knows about, is that if you're resisting, say you're at an event and you're going to be accomplishing things, you're there to do things, to get to make a difference for yourself. One of the things that, that is very useful is and nobody is tied into their seats, nobody is tied into doing any of this. It's all because you're there, you've paid to have, you know, the opportunity to learn something and to grow. One of the things that happens is that Ramtha, especially in what I call the old days, he did all the teaching himself. Now he has designated teachers, brilliant, beautiful designated teachers who are longtime students in the school. And he doesn't do a lot of the direct teachings anymore, but he does teach, as in lecture and talking to us. One of the things that he would use would be fatigue. Because if you are tired enough, you surrender that personality that's been keeping you locked in to where you're at, to what you're experiencing as your life. And fatigue is very, very useful for that. But it isn't to break you down. It isn't to hurt you. You can walk away from any of these disciplines anytime you want to, and you don't have to do any of it. But people come out of there as victims because they didn't get what they wanted. They will, you know, it says you can create your reality, and they come out of there, they're caught up in something that they don't like, and I've been there many times, but I don't want to quit because I know there's a greater understanding in what I'm going through. There's a greater purpose to this. But many people get caught up in this, and they're victimized by it, and they're unhappy. I don't blame them. I've gone through my own unhappiness, but it isn't Ramtha doing it. It's me. I am looking at my own limitations. Necromancers, things that I am so attached to, that I identify with as me, that I don't want to lose them. And it may be anger, it may be resentment, it may be, I don't know, whatever. But then if you go outside and you say, this has been done to me, then yes, they will be exactly right in what they're saying. They'll be exactly right in what they're saying. Well, I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
Ingrid,
I don't, does it?
Yeah, I really appreciate you answering that because I can imagine, I know that I didn't, I wasn't necessarily planning on asking that question, but I had some experiences over the weekend that just made me feel like, yeah, I need to bring this up, and some things I become aware of with...
I welcome a challenge. I mean, I welcome you to challenge me or to question what I'm saying, because the only thing I can do is tell you the truth of what I see, and I'm very happy to do that.
Well, I appreciate that. I just want to clarify that. So it sounds like you said that Ramtha School of Enlightenment actually does use fatigue and sleep deprivation as a tool, and I can imagine
sleep deprivation.
Fatigue as a tool, and it sounds like because it is so effective for unconscious programming, which is why cults use this. I'm not saying that Ramtha's is a cult, but it sounds like you're saying, if you're using it as a way to get past those conscious barriers, or those unconscious barriers, rather, it can actually be beneficial.
Exactly. And I tell you, there's been many a time I've come off of some of these, because some of these activities, there's one activity called field work. It's phenomenal. It'll show you what a paradigm shift is in a moment. You'll know what it is. I've come off of there just cursing and peeved and just not ready to quit. I'm not ready to quit the school. I mean, it's too much that I'm getting, and I don't have there's nothing else that I want for my life except the progress that I'm seeing. But I've come off of the field, and I have come off of out of doing CNE, and I have said, this isn't doing me a damn bit of good. What is going on? And, you know, you're just looking at yourself. You just incinerator that thinking and that emotion, it drops off. You know, it drops off. You know, it might come up again. You still get to own it until it's done. But you're going to go through the full spectrum of your personality because that's what it's about. It's about conquering yourself. And in the process of conquering yourself, you're incredibly empowered to be creative and to actually create. You don't pursue life, you create it. If I want something, I can't. If I want somebody to do something, I can't do it by controlling them. I can only do it by wanting something for myself and keeping it within myself that I want this. I can communicate with them, but I can't control anybody else. The only person I can control is myself. So that way you get results without ever having to use force on other people.
All right, thank you. So, Ingrid, it sounds like we have a few minutes left in the show, and I'm just wondering, you had mentioned that you had focused on the what you were going to use the money for, which was land and a home. Sure. So, and you had won in January, I believe?
Yes, it was January 11th during the Fresh Air event.
Okay. And so when are you planning? Are you shopping for a home now?
Oh, well, basically, I waited 6 weeks before I cashed that ticket in so I could take responsibility, know what to do with it, decide what I'm going to do with it, and, you know, where it's going to go. So that I'm not just, whoa, okay, landslide, or landfall here, whatever you call it, bonanza, you know. Then when I did cash the ticket in, I made certain choices, I made certain investments. One of them has not been to buy a property because I had, right now, and because of two priorities that I had in investing, actually three, I wouldn't have enough money to invest in a property. Now, that may sound like it's not what I said to begin with, but it is, because the priorities that I have are life-changing, and the priorities that I've spent some of that money on are life-changing, and also really good because I needed a new car, so I bought a new used car. I still have a certain amount that I can invest. It's liquid. It's not all invested. That I could use to buy a small property, but right now, that isn't happening. And I'm kind of just enjoying this new I keep saying reality, but it really is, your life has just wonderfully changed. And the money is definitely part of that. So I'm taking my time doing it. I did buy a new bike and a new camera, too.
Nice. So it sounds like you're being really wise about what you're doing. You mentioned that you didn't want to cash it in right away because you wanted to adjust to the idea.
Absolutely. You know, I've developed, during this whole process, I've developed the neural nets in my brain to make it all acceptable. But then you got to learn to live in it, too. It's like, you know, you're giving birth to a child, and you're now taking care of it. It's a labor of love, and you're taking care of it and nurturing it.
So, Ingrid, I'm just curious now, one of the things that can happen to lottery winners is it's not just this new influx of this big chunk of money, but there's also media attention, people start coming to you, people come out of the woodwork. And so I'm just wondering how you've been handling that or what your experience has been.
Okay, so number one, I'm creating my own reality, right? And I'm not doing it defensively, but I'm just creating it. So when this came about and I called my family, I asked my stepmom, who is an adorable woman, can I help you? Can I send you some money? She said, no. I talked to my friends. I offered them, I forget who, I offered money to people, and they said, no. Well, good. So, number one, no. Nobody's come after me. I've had one proposal to invest in Iranian money because it's supposed to escalate in value. I don't do that. I choose my own investments. It's not like that. So, no, nobody's come after me for money. I've had a certain amount of media exposure, one with a local newspaper here called the Nisqually Valley News, who treated my description and Tanya, the other gal who won the $10,000. They treated us very fairly. They took an audio recording as well as notes, this young reporter, and we had a front-page article, which was very fair. And it also discussed some doubts and that we're becoming addicted gamblers and that sort of thing. And I said, well, you know, I don't buy lottery tickets all the time. If instinctively it's not right, I don't buy it. I'm not going to get anywhere with it. I don't mind spending the dollar, but I don't need to. So no, I'm not compulsive about it. And the other media that I've had been exposed to was a gal who came to observe a beginner's event a couple of weeks ago. And I learned later that she was, and I had a wonderful 15-20 minute discussion with her. I basically kind of talked at her like, well, you know, like I'm doing with you, describing and just sharing my my journey without getting real fancy about it. And she just was, you know, typing into her laptop and listening and saying, oh, that's impressive. And she was just very there and, you know, was open to doing an interview with me. I don't know whose idea it was, but I was sure happy to do it. And then I later learned, and I don't know this directly, but I learned from a very good source that she had been sent by her editor from a hate perspective, like to look in at the school and, you know, to kill it if you can, I suppose, is the best way to say it. I don't know. But I had a wonderful interview with her, and I felt delightful in her company. So those are the other two interviews besides yourself. And this has been the most in-depth one, and just thank you. It's wonderful to share this.
Oh, I'm happy to have you on the show, and you've been very pleasant to speak with, and I appreciate your openness and willingness to just talk about this. And so I'm just wondering, if there's one or two points that you feel are most important that you really want to get across to listeners, what would that be?
Basically, that we are fully responsible for our own lives. And no matter what circumstances we're in, we can own it and we can change it. And that change is empowering. We're afraid of change. We're innately afraid of change. We've been taught that or something. And change is an imperative, and it's wonderful. It's worth going through fear or whatever is in the way to make changes if you really want to change your life. And we have the tools to do that. That's it. And they're tools based on goodness. You can't use them against other people because what goes around comes around real quick when you get powerful tools like this. That's basically it.
Wonderful. Well, Ingrid, it's been wonderful speaking with you. Is there anything else you want to add before I wrap up and play a song?
Well, I'm not the person I used to be, and I certainly have been experiencing a lot more joy and a lot more peace of mind and a lot more ability to talk to people. This isn't just about the money. It's a wonderful life change, and I'm grateful. I'm very grateful to Ramtha and to Jay-Z and to this indivisible being that we call God, that is a mind, a beautiful indivisible mind that is pure love. And I've experienced it, and I continue to experience it.
Thank you again, Ingrid. It's been wonderful. And if people want to get in touch with you, are you open to that, or are you just here to do an interview?
Sure. If people want to do a Q&A, or if they, you know, hopefully if they want to get in touch with me, they'll listen to what I said today and take that into the context of what they might want to address. And I'm willing to confront challenges to what I've said or what I'm living and doing.
Okay, and is there a way can people reach you?
What would you suggest is a good way to do this? I'm not used to
I was just wondering if you had a website or anything, and if not, then that's fine.
No, I have an email address.
Well, you're welcome to put it out there if you'd like.
I have a telephone number.
I probably wouldn't put out your phone number, but if you wanted to share your email address, feel free.
Okay, it's Inge at ourmail.com. It is ourmail.com.
Inge at ourmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again, Ingrid. It has been so fun chatting with you, and enjoy your newfound wealth.
Thank you, Marie. And thank you for doing your work. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care, Ingrid. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Okay. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Again, that was Ingrid Plattman, who won $230,000, and she attributes that win to the teachings of Ramtha School of Enlightenment. And yeah, that was a really interesting conversation. I'm happy that she answered my cult question so openly and didn't even seem to bat an eyelash. So thank you so much for that, Ingrid. And this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We'll be back with more Synchronicity next Monday. But before that, and until that time, up next here on CITR is Parts Unknown. I am going to play a song by the lovely Surya Devi, and I will see you next week. Be well. Love you so much. Namaste.
Thank you.
For 3 days this spring, the Eastside Flea will once again be filling the UBC Student Union building with a fun and diverse marketplace, giving students the opportunity to buy affordable goods they can't find on campus. Expect vintage clothing, local artists and craftsmen goods, sunglasses, cool collectibles, handmade candy, posters, screen print t-shirts, books, and more. Catch them in the sub Monday, March 31st through Wednesday, April 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. for a revolving door of awesome goods and fun times. The 4th Annual Versus Festival of Words explores writers of all walks of life, including poets, storytellers, comedians, and singer-songwriters. With 34 all-ages events, there is something for everyone, including the Canadian Individual Poetry Slam. Over 40 slam poets from across the country will battle it out to represent English Canada at the World Cup Poetry in Paris. The festival comes to Vancouver April 5th to 12th, and more information can be found at versusfestival.ca. Well, I was walking down the street one afternoon, headed for
the jam. Hi, I'm CJ, CITR's campus coverage coordinator.
Hey, this is Duncan from Duncan's Donuts.
This is Robin Allum, program manager.
I'm Lucy Clarkson, and I'm in the student executive.
And my name's Steve. I was just standing out in the hallway.
Hi, my name is Brenda. I'm CITR station manager.
Hey, my name's Andy Resto, and I'm the digital library coordinator at CITR.
My name is Hugo, and I'm the volunteer manager.
Hey, my name's Eleanor, and I'm the sponsorship coordinator at CITR.
This is Ryan Rozelle, president of CITR's student executive. From all of us at CITR, we would like to acknowledge everyone who donated to this year's fund drive. With the help of listeners like you, we raised